Multitasking isn't my good thing. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you all. 2026 is going to be a big year for everyone, I'm sure. But this morning, in prayer, in preparation for this message that I want to share with you, that God wants to share with you this morning, I believe that He'd be saying that it's enough is enough, that it's time for victory in life. Who would agree? It's time to have some victories. It's time to have some wins. Who had some wins in 25? Yeah, good. Who had some losses? Usually more hands, isn't there? But I can tell you, if you have Jesus, and if you had Jesus in 2025, you're a winner. You've already won. No matter how many losses come against you, no matter how many challenges and trials will come there to try and bring you down, and the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and to try and peg you back from what God's calling you to do, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have a relationship with Him, you have all that you need and all that you'll ever need. He loves you with an everlasting love. And I know that I've learned that myself from experience in my life, that there's so many times I've let Him down. There's so many times I've let my family down. There's let people down. And I know none of you have done that. It's only me. But I just want you to know that it's okay, because He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God, and greatest of all, He's a correcting God. He corrects us if we are to listen to Him. You want to listen to Him this morning? You want to listen to Him for the rest of your life? Amen. We need to do that, because He's worth listening to. This morning, I'm just going to open in prayer, but I just want to give you a little bit of a background on what I'm going to share this morning. And that song that we just sang, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." The challenges that we face in this life and the trials that we endure, oftentimes we want to face them front on and try to fix them themselves. Does anyone know what I'm saying? And it's not always necessarily the answer. In fact, it's not the answer. Is that we have a God that is great and mighty. Have you ever sung "Great and Mighty is He"? It was an old song I grew up in the church. "Great and Mighty is He." We have to grasp that revelation that He has dunamis. He has all the power, all the knowledge, all the love, all of the mercy, all of the grace that we're ever going to need to conquer in our lives, to win in life. I'm not here with a pep talk this morning to sort of motivational speaking or anything like that, but I am here to teach the Word of God, because the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces the division of joints and marrow, soul and spirit. And you know what the greatest thing about the Word of God is? It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. So what's going on in this heart? Out of the abundance of this heart, your mouth speaks. But what's going on in this heart is going to affect your every life. The decisions you made yesterday are going to affect your tomorrow. Amen? How many decisions have you made that have guided you away from God's will in your life? You don't have to answer that. We all have. But this morning, I could easily just ask each one of you individually, have you had a challenge in 2025, or will you have a challenge in 26? And the answer is yes, you will. Each one of us, in different levels of challenges. Some it might be in a relationship, a relationship breakdown. Some it might be in your health. Some it might be at your job, at your workplace. Some it might be in your schools, for those of you at school. Wherever the challenges come from, you've got to be ready for them. And you've got to know that the battle is the Lord's. The battle and the overcoming and the victory comes through Jesus and Jesus alone. He loved us so much that He came to seek and save that which was lost. I was lost. I had no way. I had no roadmap to home. I had no roadmap to heaven, to the eternal presence of God. And then one day I heard a message, and it just sparked in my heart. It made my spirit come alive, and I said yes to Jesus. And that is my prayer for each one in here this morning. As I cast my eyes across this congregation this morning, I know a lot of you, and I know you're already in that place. You already have that relationship with Jesus. But do you have that total trust and understanding that He wins your battles, that you don't have to fight? Like that song said, when I fight on my knees. When the storm rages and the winds prevail against me, I look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And I know that the words that are coming from his lips are the same words he set out on that ocean with his disciples. Peace, be still. Amen? Peace, be still. He calms the raging storm that's going on in your life. But we have to allow him to do it. We have to trust him that he will do it and trust him at his word, because God is faithful. In every circumstance, in every challenge that life throws at us, he's faithful, even when we aren't faithful. So we're just going to open in prayer, and I'm going to ask Anna, if she's here, to come and share a testimony after this prayer, if she would. Is that okay? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence in this house this morning, Lord Jesus, that there is no greater place to be than in your presence. And we don't have to be in a church to be there. We can be anywhere in this whole universe, Lord, because we know that you are everywhere. So, Lord, let us recognize your Holy Spirit this morning, his leading and his guiding us as we share the word, as Anna shares the testimony. And we just give you praise this morning that people will not leave here like they came, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
It's on. Yeah. Yesterday, we talked about Psalm 91, and I just shared with Anthony and Kathy how precious, incredibly precious and important that psalm was to me. So Anthony asked me to share it with you this morning. Many, many years ago, at the police station in Warwick, fairly late at night. I was there for my safety. I was very concerned. I was very frightened. I was scared. A friend had insisted to go with me there on that evening. I didn't smile like I do right now. And I just said, Father God, I'm at the end of myself. I don't know what to do physically, mentally. I just didn't know what to do. All I wanted to do was just sit there on that chair and never leave. I was just beyond my any sort of reasoning. And it went through my mind, Psalm 91. Now, I had read Psalm 91 before, of course I had, but it never really meant anything to me apart from the song we sang in those days. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, most of you know that. And I turned to my friend and I said, do you have your Bible with you? Yes, yes, she said. You know, in those days, so many of us women, we had the little sort of pocket Bible in our handbags. And she started reading Psalm 91 to me. And it was just like God saying to me very, very clearly, Anna, no matter what, no matter what's going to happen, no matter what's happening in your life, I've got it. I've got you. I have you. I'm holding you. I know exactly what's happening around you. And it was so encouraging. The peace, I still, to this day, after so many years, I still can remember the peace which just flowed over us, the whole room. Was I free of any sort of worries afterwards? No, I wasn't. Were the challenges ongoing? Yes, they were. But I knew that he had me. He had the whole situation in his hands, in his control. Yeah. That says so much about him, doesn't it? Not just what he's done for me, but who he is. He truly is faithful. Every morning, he is such a good God. And isn't it reassuring to know that he is already where we are going to go? He knows what is going to happen. He knows everything. What a privilege that we can know him. Mm. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you for sharing. I just felt that that was very relevant to this morning, what Anna had to share there, and thus I asked her. But, and I'm sure each person, if I asked each person, you all have your story. But I sort of asked Anna to do that because I wanted to make it real, not just the preacher up here saying stuff, but someone real, even though I am real, but someone real, real situation, real life situation, because the story that I'm going to share with you this morning, we can listen to the story, and it's a great story. It's one of the most profound stories in the Bible, in my personal opinion, just to how this king handles the situation. But we need to know that God is on our side, and we have to have that confidence and that faith in our hearts that as we ask him, as we seek him, and as we knock on the door, he answers. He wants to answer. He wants to come through. All he needs to see from us is our obedience, our humility, our dependence on him, and our submission to him. If we can get to that place in life, then when we go through situations, as Anna shared, as we all go through, instead of us trying to take charge and to make things happen and to fix things up, we can simply just fall on our knees, give praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and know, fully know, that he will come through for us. How many times has God come through for you? That's two of you. I'll have to have a talk to the Lord. I'm not at liberty to do that. But the point is, everyone needed to put their hand up. You didn't have to. We all know that God always comes through. He never lets us down. He's faithful. This morning, before I go to the main man of the moment and the message this morning, there's several individuals that I just want to briefly just announce that had, throughout Scripture, that had challenges, major challenges confronting them. Now, you could, if I went around and asked you guys, you'd name a few, but I'm just going to name a couple of them. One such person is King David. Before he was king, this little ruddy shepherd boy out in the back end of the desert suddenly comes before the Philistine army, before this giant that was in the land named Goliath. And he comes before him. Everyone else is worried. Everyone else is scared and fearful, and they allow that fear to dictate their decision making. But David had this heart within him that just knew that he knew that God was on his side, that I know that this battle isn't mine, but it's the Lord's, and that God will raise up a standard against this giant. And the slingshot, the pebbles that he had were simply just tools, and he was simply just a vessel in the hands of the living God to bring down this giant and to bring down the Philistine army in the process of it. So we see him, David, faced with challenges. We see Moses faced with challenges. We see Joshua faced with challenges, all overcoming these challenges. Daniel, another one, who'd be thrown in a lion's den because of standing up for their faith. Would you do that? If you were told that I don't want you to pray anymore, otherwise I'm going to throw you in a lion's den, I'm not going to feed the lions for 6 weeks. Would you do that now? Only the faith and the relationship you have with the Lord could allow you to do that, knowing that God is in total control. But the man I want to talk about this morning, the king and the kingdom I want to speak about this morning is God's kingdom. But in this story, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read about a king, Jehoshaphat. Have you heard that name before? King Jehoshaphat. I hope I said that right. We're going to read through this story, and I'm just going to just share some points that the Holy Spirit, I believe, is teaching us through this story. And we can learn something very profound here if we are attentive to his word. In chapter 20, verse 1, we're going to read probably 30 verses. We're going to try, but I'll just explain as we go. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all Judah. That verse 3 is a very key verse in this passage. He has been confronted with this crisis, with this absolute end of the world crisis to him and to his kingdom. He's the current king of Judah. This is after the two kingdoms have split. So you have the northern and southern kingdoms. Now, Judah and Benjamin formed one kingdom and the rest of the tribes formed the other. And Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. And that, just to give you a bit of a background on that. But in verse 3, he's confronted with this terror of three great armies coming against him and his kingdom to take him down. And I could have read here, I read as the Bible reads, and we're not to change the word, but I could have read here, he feared and he ran for his life, or he feared and he mobilized his army to get ready to fight. But what does it say here? It says that he feared. Yes, that's a natural human reaction. Is he allowed to be fearful? Are we allowed to be fearful at times? We're allowed to be fearful. It's how we handle this fear and what steps we take after the fear comes. It's not succumbing to the fear. So Jehoshaphat feared and set himself not to mobilize armies, not to call on other allies to help him, but he set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself to prayer and fasting, but not just himself. It says the whole kingdom. So when we look at this story, and I'll try and just skip through a little bit of this, otherwise we won't get there. But when we look at this story, we're looking at a picture of a king that is obedient totally and dependent totally on his God. The great, great, great grandson of David, we're talking about here approximately. I don't know how many greats there is. But the point is, this king achieved something that would be very hard to achieve even in our nowadays Australia, anywhere. And that is the word unity. He achieved something that is very hard to achieve, and that is unity amongst his kingdom. He proclaimed a fast and his people supported it. His leaders, his co-leaders supported every step of the way, this fast. And then as we go on, we'll see the blessing that follows, because you know the Bible says where there's unity, God commands the blessing. So this is where we can continue to move on here. And from verse 4 it says, "So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord." They're seeking the Lord. "And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So they're not worried about this approaching army. They're just worried about seeking the Lord. How often do we look at the problem that's coming towards us, or the problem that's trying to overcome us, and we don't seek God in the situation? How often do we look at the wrong thing? How often do we mobilize all of the wrong things to try and fight this, when God can just fix the problem anyway? He doesn't fix the problem overnight all the time. Sometimes he might. Sometimes he doesn't fix the problem on this side of eternity at all. You take someone who, you know, we probably all had someone who may have passed from cancer and that was, you know, or whatever, and they're gone. But I can tell you, whether it's on this side of eternity or the other side of eternity, this side on the earth or in heaven one day we are there, you are going to be restored. Is that a great promise or what? No matter what the enemy throws at you now, nothing can hurt you. Yes, we can die. These bodies can become frail. These bodies will eventually all die. If I asked each one of you in this room, unless there's an extraordinary thing that happens, in 150 years, where will you be? Each one of us, I don't think any of us will be here. I'm not being negative, not a lack of faith, but it's just the truth. But I know where everyone who trusts in Jesus will be, and that's in his eternal presence, and it will have only just begun. Like the song says, 10,000 years and we've just begun. You know, I'm 50 years old this year. Not yet, so don't hold that against me yet. Soon. But 50 years, 10,000 years. Eternity is something that we can't grasp in our human minds. But I know the decisions that we make in this life, the trials that we face and how we handle those trials, whether we handle them by ourselves or we ask God to bring us through, has a very, very strong bearing on what the future holds. Because we don't know what the future holds, but a little saying here says we know who holds the future. God, you're in the palm of his hand. I learned that at Catholic school when I was this high. that we're in the palm of his hand. Amen? That every hair on this head, more and more gray ones every day, is counted. He knows. When I go to the beach and I look at the sand on the sea, he knows how many grains of sand, how many little pieces of sand, salty sand, are sitting on every beach in the world. He is all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is everything. So therefore, as we read through here, Jehoshaphat knew his God. He knew the power of his God. He knew the love of his God, and he knew the delivering power of his God. And he walked in that way accordingly. So Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations, King of kings, Lord of lords? And in your hand is there not power, dunamis, unlimited power, and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? It doesn't say that, oh, there's just a couple who might get on top of you. No, no one can withstand the power, the love, the mercy, the grace, the attributes, the glory of our God. No one can stand against that. Amen? Is that good? So isn't it even, that part's good, but there's even a better part. He loves you. He wants you on his team. He wants you in his presence. He wants you to be a worshiper of him, not because of pride or anything, but because he loves you and he knows the benefit that you will get when you worship him. There's a benefit when you worship and praise. And I'm not talking about keyboard and singing and worship. That's part of worship. Do you know what? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your very life is an act of worship to God. Your very life. Everything, every drop of blood that is pumping through your veins right now ought to be worshiping God. Every breath you take ought to be worshiping and praising the King. Because he loves you because he wants to get something to you. He doesn't want to take something from you. All he's asking is a relationship with him, to trust in his Son, to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, to believe that he is the only begotten Son of God and that he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to turn the lights on when they were turned off in the garden so that the lights could be turned on. And you're a temple of God. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit himself. How precious is that? So does that now hopefully give you some confidence that next time something is challenging in your life or a trial comes and confronts you in your life, that you can then stand up and say, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to know. I'm going to stand still, and we're going to read that. I don't want to take the fire away from the scripture, but we're going to stand still and we're going to see the deliverance of God. We're going to see the salvation of God. We're going to see the Yeshua of God. Amen? You want to see the Yeshua of God? The Jesus of God? Salvation? Jesus is salvation. Amen? We have a son, me and Jody, or three sons, and one of them's called Joshua. He doesn't answer to Joshua, but whenever Jody says Yeshua or Yeshua, he always answers. Don't know why. But anyway, that's a side note. But the point is that God is on your side, and you've got to get so close in a relationship with him that no matter what life throws at you, that you can just turn to him in that time of need. And he's faithful. He's just, he's all-powerful, and he's loving. Amen? So as we read through this, continue to read through this, I'm just going to skip to verse 7. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friends, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary, dwelling place, in it, for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. I will stand in this temple of the Holy Spirit that he has blessed me with, and I will cry out to him in that time of need, because I know that he will answer my call, my cry for help. Put it this way. If there was someone who was really in need and you had the opportunity and the resources to help that person, in your heart of hearts, would you help them or would you just leave it? Would you just leave them and say, no, someone else can do it? I know I'm in the truck all the time, and often you see hitchhikers and all that, and there's certain things that, you know, you drive past them, or and it's difficult because of safety and all of those things that people have these excuses. But we have resources, and the resource is Jesus. The resource is the Holy Spirit. The resource is the divine knowledge that He gives us to let people know that salvation in Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, is the only way that we need to live in this life, the only way that we will come to that place on the other side of eternity and know that we are with Him and within His presence forevermore. King Jehoshaphat knew his God. He knew. Now, after this story, he failed in an area. I'm not going to go into that. But in this instance, he knew his God, and he was acting upon this knowledge. And verse 10, it says, "Now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." These are the attackers, the three great armies, "whom you would not let Israel invade," this is previous, "when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here are they rewarding us and coming back at us now by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit." God has given you an inheritance. He's given you a possession. You are His possession, and He's given you a possession, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? You have Jesus in your life to love, to worship, to glean, and to receive blessing and insights from through His Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. So we need to not forget our inheritance. All this ultimately comes back to knowing our identity in Christ. When something happens and someone comes against you, when challenges come and throw themselves at your feet, we need to know that Jesus is there to fight our battles. But as the song said when we were singing there before, every fight, I'm going to fight it on my knees. I'm going to fall to my knees and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of that worship, worship flows into praise. Praise flows into victory. When the praise goes up, the walls come down. Amen? When the praise goes up, the walls come down. We need to understand that, that based off the story of Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho, when the singers went out, the praises went out, the walls came down. And this is exactly, in a sense, what Jehoshaphat is leading his kingdom of Judah to do, praising, worshiping, proclaiming the fast. The walls and the challenge of this enemy, these three great armies, was coming down. And God was coming to that place of stepping in and doing what He does best, and that is winning. Winning every battle. So, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude." So they're recognizing their weakness. "That is coming against us, and nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on ourselves, ready to mobilize our armies." No. Our eyes are on you in this challenge. "Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children," isn't that awesome? Everyone's in unity, including the wives and the children, "stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel," don't know how to say that, "the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly." So he's a Levite, and you'll find that the sons of Asaph wrote some of the Psalms as well. And in verse 15, he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." If there's anything you get out of this, all this talk that I'm doing this morning, that's what I want you to get, that's what God wants you to get, is the battle doesn't belong to you, it's God's. And I can tell you, this year, 2026, you'll have your battles. You'll have your challenges. In fact, if you're not already aware, we're already in a war of multiple battles. But the war has been won at the cross of Calvary. When Jesus says it is finished, when Jesus said, "Forgive them for they know not what they do," the battle was won. We just have to step into that. We just have to come in and take Him by the hand. And He has promised us that He would lead us to the promised land. Amen? That's a promise. It might be a little bit rough here and there. It might be like sundown. Some of the tracks we have to go on to get there sometimes. But I can tell you, there'll be a beautiful waterfall. There'll be a beautiful pristine rainforest. There'll be whatever you look at as beautiful in your eyes. You're going to make it. You're going to get there. Don't give up. Know that as you fall on your knees and you praise Him, you worship Him, you know that He holds your future, not yourself. When you know that, when you have that revelation in your heart, He'll get you there. And as we read through here, we'll see exactly what He does for this in this story. And He says in verse 16, "Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Wow. Who's ever been taught to fight? Doesn't the Bible say fight the good fight of faith? Does it say that? But in this situation, He's saying don't fight. You know why I reckon He said don't fight? Because He wanted to show forth His dunamis. He wanted to show forth His power, His dominion, His sovereignty. Amen? And He wants to do the same in your life. If you're facing three great armies of problems coming at you, stand up. Yes, you can stand up. You can position yourself, and that means seeking the Lord. But stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Don't try and fight your way out of it, but just stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. If you can grasp this revelation and this insight this morning, you'll definitely go beyond the fence. You might be just thinking about beyond the fence. You'll be stepping beyond the fence because you'll be going into that place of war. You'll be going into that place of battle. But you know that right there with you is your very best friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Jesus. And if He's with you, as Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for you, who can be against you? That's verse 31. And if you read down a little bit further there in that passage, it says in verse 37, it says that you're more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. So this year, I want to encourage you to go out there and know that you are more than a conqueror because of Jesus, not because you've got big muscles and big guns, but you're more than a conqueror because of Jesus, because He's already won the battle for us 2,000 years ago. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but what's it say about Jesus? You can yell it out if you want. He comes to give life, and life abundantly. Life to its fullness. In His presence, in the Psalms, it talks about in His presence there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. So this is what we have to look forward to. When I cast my mind back to the story of Paul and Silas in prison, what did they do at the midnight hour? They started singing. Why? Because they knew there was, when the praise goes up, the walls come down. When the praise goes up, the jail doors are flung open. So next time you're imprisoned in your challenge, next time you're imprisoned in all of the life's trials that they throw at you, and that the enemy throws at you, and even that you self-inflict on yourself because of your decisions, know that the Lord Jesus Christ, as you praise Him, as you worship Him, as you seek His face, don't seek His hands, what He can give you, but seek His face. As you seek Him, He will bring the victory. And even if the victory doesn't look like it's even anywhere near the horizon, like Anna said before, He'll bring a peace that transcends understanding in your heart through the trial. Who wants the peace of God? Who wants to live that way? Who wants to have, you know, all this stuff thrown at them, but not even be affected? Have you ever seen those movies? I can't pick any out. You probably, some of you might, especially younger ones, might know it better than I do. But have you ever seen those movies where something just looks like it just can't die? It just gets beat up, beat up, beat up. It just doesn't die. and then they have to, it takes the whole movie to kill it or whatever. You know, that's what we can be like with Jesus. Nothing can penetrate because of him, not because of us. One punch will knock us out. But when you have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, they can punch, they can shoot, they can do whatever they want to do. But I have the shield of faith repelling each one of them. And every time the enemy throws those darts at that shield of faith, those darts that he's throwing at me, is it getting blunter and blunter and blunter each time? So we need to stand up, just as Jehoshaphat did here, with his kingdom of people, and worship and praise the Lord. In verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went down into the wilderness to Koah. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." I'm going to pull it up there because this is getting a bit long. There's so much more in there. But we need to be a people who are established in him. And we need to come to that place of absolute surrender, absolute worship and praise to him, and saying, "Lord Jesus, it's none of me, but it's all of you. Thank you for doing such a great work in my life. I know I'm your workmanship, and he has begun a good work in me, plans to complete that good work that he began. He doesn't do half measures. I've driven past building sites and stuff. There's one down in Drake. Some of you might know it. There's a brick house on the left-hand side. I went there 10 years ago. It was just a little brick house half built, and I think it's still the same now. It hasn't been finished. It's on the left-hand side as you're going out of Drake. And every time I go past there, I think, hey, that's not what God's doing in my life. He's continuing to build. And I've still got a lot of bricks to put on. I've still got a lot of building to do. We all have. But in the midst of this journey, in the midst of this building process, we need to grow up and get to a higher place in him, so that when challenges come, we're worshiping him. When there is no challenges, we're worshiping him. When life is a tiptoe through the tulips, we're worshiping him. And that worship transforms into praise, or transitions into praise. And that praise transitions into a victorious life. And that is what God wants us to have. Amen. One more thing before Pastor Dave comes to share communion with us this morning. Just to lead into this communion message, I want you to just ponder on what we've shared this morning. And just recognize that no matter all the battles that you have faced, no matter all the battles that I've faced, there was one battle that our Savior faced. And that was the battle over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He waged war against that. Adam and Eve lost it. The first Adam lost it. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, restored it. And that battle on the cross of Calvary is where we find our hope, is where we find our solace, where we can come to that place of absolute peace, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ continues to win our battles, yes, but he's won our battle 2,000 years ago. Amen. Even the battles that aren't even on your horizon yet. And this is why I'm preaching this morning, because there's battles on all of our horizons. It's coming. Be ready for it. And the only way you can be ready for it is fine-tune your relationship with Jesus, because he'll get you through. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Dave.
Everybody, we come.